From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of April 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the GAO says the U.S. government could save money by shifting some of the burden of crop insurance to farmers. The trustee unwinding the MF Global brokerage says he might try to recoup money directly from the company's officers and directors. And ICE, the Intercontinental Exchange based in Atlanta, plans to make a move on the CME Group's agricultural futures dominance by introducing contracts for corn, wheat, and soybeans and its products in the month of May. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then as we close out our half hour together, we'll talk with Jim Angel, state climatologist from the Illinois State Water Survey, right here in Champaign County, on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Checking the numbers as I settled up in Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures were sharply lower. Nearby May contract and the soft red winter wheat pit down 15 and three quarters of a cent to settle at 623 and a half. July at 630 and a quarter, down 14 and a quarter. In September, 644 and a half, 12 and a half cents lower. The hard red in Kansas City finished the July contract at $6.52, down 10 and a quarter cents. May corn futures back in Chicago, 8 and a quarter lower at $6.29 and a quarter. July at 620 and three quarters, down 8 and a quarter. September at 555 and a half, down 9 cents. In December corn, that's the harvest month, $5.37 for the new crop, down 9 and three quarter cents. March at 548, 7 lower. The May at 556, down 7 and a quarter. July of 2013 at $5.62 and a quarter, down 8 and three quarters. Beans finished the May at 4 and a quarter cents lower at $14.36 and three quarters. July 14.40 and three quarters, down 3 and three quarters. And November beans at $13.61 and three quarters, down 11 cents for the day. Bean meal up $1.20. Bean oil 71 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the June at 116.7 and a half, down $1.07 and a half. The May feeders at 151.52 and a half, 72 and a half lower. And May hogs at $90.12 and a half, down $3 for the afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon, 83 cents lower at $102.82 a barrel. Ethanol at $2.21.07. That's down 2 4/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $1.98.7, 4/10 of a cent higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.17.5, 8 7/10 of a cent lower, rather 8/10 of a cent lower for the day, or higher for the day. And then the gold futures on the afternoon, $1,659.10 an ounce, down $20.40. The dollar at 79.87. That's 0.59 higher for the day. The CRB index at 302.85, down 2.76. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Showers and thunderstorms are likely mainly after 1 a.m. Should be cloudy. A low of 53 with a southwest wind at 13 to 18, gusting to 24. About 60% coverage for those showers and thunderstorms tonight. Then tomorrow, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy in the area. 61 degrees. It'll be breezy with a 16 to 22 mile per hour wind. And on Saturday evening, 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and 61 that night. Actually, Saturday during the day, I got those two mixed up. It'll be 72 degrees out. Showers and thunderstorms are likely, and then they taper off Saturday night. And Sunday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, a high of 78. Sunday night, showers and thunderstorms, cloudy and breezy, a low of 60. Monday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and a high of 69 degrees. Monday night, cloudy and 44. Tuesday, sunny and 58. Tuesday night, cloudy and 39. Wednesday, sunny and 61. Wednesday night, cloudy and 44. And Thursday, mostly sunny skies next week, a high of 66 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Illinois State climatologist Jim Angel.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello, Todd. Happy Friday to you, sir.
Hey, happy Friday to you, too. I had a conversation with Emerson Nafziger, Illinois agronomist in Extension Service here about an hour ago now, although we did it on television, so we won't have it for radio at this point. But I'll try to put some of that into Commodity Week. We talked about some of those cold temperatures and what he thought about the corn across the entirety of the state. He's a little worried about that first 5% that got planted and thinks that it all might be in trouble, or a good portion of it, depending on how low it was and how cold it got in those areas. So there's still more fun to come, I think, from the weather. And now we're getting just slight drizzle outside here in Urbana-Champaign. So things change quickly, don't they?
Yeah, and I think you bring up a huge point. I think the weather from this past week for both the corn and the soft red wheat and the spring wheat, I think that weather that we had, Todd, probably has not been traded yet in the market, if I had to guess, because we were still coming off of the USDA report and the bigger-than-expected ending stocks number for corn. The July corn lost 31.5 cents this week.
Right.
The East lost about 13. So the spread the first part of the week really took a hit. Then it held steady at 80 cents and held major support at 80 cents. I think the trade, as far as I can tell, probably Thursday and Friday, both were in the mindset, let's not jump off the train here as far as thinking there's a lot of damage. Let's wait to see and gather some more information, because I think a lot of agronomists are starting to say at this point, give it a week, let's see how it looks in a week from now. So I think we'll probably have to come back to these fundamentals again, and probably have to come back even quicker on Sunday night to whether these rains that are coming through are going to be disappointing. The midday models kind of leaned in that direction, but we all know that in the springtime the weather models are about as weak as they get as far as consistency and confidence level.
Here's something related to the rainfall or lack of rainfall, and Emerson was with the rest of the agronomists. He thinks about the 20th of April producers will be able to make a decision about fields that were nipped by this latest freezer frost. But that because it's been so very dry and the top few inches of soil are so very dry, he's not so certain that it might not have been cold enough, deep enough, that even some small corn might really get tapped. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think that's, the consultants that I work with, Ed Keezer's one of them, and then my oldest brother's another one, and both of them have reiterated over the course of the last few years, drier soil does not hold as an insulator as well as the wet soil, and I think that's where the more rain we get now does a variety of good things to the crop. And the key for the producer, I think, at this point is to know that Chicago's very well tapped into that mindset. That Chicago, I think, knows very well how dry we are, and Chicago is understanding how susceptible not just the northern Corn Belt planted acres, the amount up there is going to be here in the next 2 weeks if we stay cold and dry, and maybe those acres go out of spring wheat and into soybeans, or out of corn and into soybeans, but also, and more importantly, the central Corn Belt, and how much more damage could be done if we stay dry, because what emerges may not have a decent stand, and then you look at the population counts 3-4 weeks from now, and they may not be as high as what they look like when we first get it out of the ground. So I think the micro fundamentals, the supply-demand fundamentals for the corn are turning. I've heard more rhetoric of people talking about that 95.9 million acres being the top end, like you and I talked about after the acreage report. I've heard more people talking about taking the 164 yield off the table in a couple weeks and maybe even going down below 160 if we can't turn this weather pattern to a wetter, warmer pattern.
What happened in Chicago today? Things turned ugly and took a tumble.
I tell you, you bring up a huge point to me, because I look at the macro side as much as I do the micro side, and to me the macro is starting to smell, meaning the fundamentals, like it's getting tired and that we need to feed the bull in the outside markets. And to me, we went right back down to that Dow Jones UBS commodity index, major support, major 10-week moving average, major trend line support on today's close. I think the heart and soul of what happened, Todd, was we priced in, after Tuesday's break, we priced in talk of more quantitative easing by the Fed, more cheap monetary policy by China, and then we got the Chinese GDP numbers out late last night that were disappointing. And I think, quite frankly, we've resurrected the idea that China is coming in for a hard landing, not a soft landing. So I think next week when we come back, I'm a lot more concerned about the macro fundamentals feeding the bull and holding these major technical support levels.
Well, do you think there will be many things that will be working in favor of the bull next week? If we get an inch or an inch and a half of rainfall widely across the Corn Belt, I would think that would be difficult for the marketplace to swallow. And
right. And
the planters aren't going to slow down because it's so dry. It won't take them but a couple of days to get back in the field, I would think.
No, and I think you've also hit some major technical levels in the soy complex, so the beans could actually become, instead of being the leader to the upside and holding the whole market together with glue, it ends up causing the whole market to fall. I was interested to see that the meal actually got to the highest level since August of 2009 today on the weekly high in May.
Right.
And we also saw the July Nov bean spread get back up to 80, 81 cents. That's the highest since August of last year and actually takes us back to almost January of last year for both beans and the spread as far as the upward movement and where we've been. So I think you're right. I think that not just the outside markets but all those also the micro fundamentals could be really dicey next week when we come back, especially given how we closed today. I don't think we did any technical damage yet, but I think it goes back to the commodity index funds and the index fund liquidation potential and the commodity trading fund liquidation potential when those technicals do get damaged. So I think that's where we need to be on kind of high alert at this point. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys I've talked to in Chicago are getting more friendly corn at this point, so they're kind of going counter-seasonal because the corn's been trading counter-seasonal. I can understand that mindset, so it goes back to how hard do you want to press the short side for a 35 to 40 cent break to the downside, because I think more and more people are starting to come around to the idea that between now and July 1, it's going to be really hard to break the $5 Dease corn threshold.
Right, right. So is there any reason to think about getting an itchy finger next week,
or
do you just watch it?
I could see doing it in short futures with a tight stop when it came to corn. I'd really be getting, I'm getting geared up to reinstitute hedges and surpass my previous hedge levels in the beans again once I get those sell signals in the S&P, that Dow Jones Grains Index, and then also the spread starts to top.
Anything on the outside markets that you want to talk about that we haven't discussed at this point?
Probably the only thing I would say is that we're not out of the woods with the gasoline prices either. That's the other thing that kind of comes into the play, and I think we saw that in the livestock markets this week. Before the outside markets got sick in the equities and the risk-off trade came back and the dollar went above its 50-day moving average in the June index, I think the trade is getting back into the mindset that we may be in for a little bit rougher ride with the unleaded gas prices, even though we've dropped, I think, 7 days in a row now. It's just been in single digits. The reason that is refining capacity continues to decline. So even though we have the crude oil, we're not refining it into unleaded. That may get tougher and tougher as we get into these summer blends.
And then take up the livestock for me for just a moment.
We'll limit down on the hogs because
right.
We simply have not gotten into the cash seasonal. I mean, we had a pretty weak Easter seasonal. The market-ready hogs seem ample. There's some tightness in our part of the country here, but I'm hearing in the Western Corn Belt that there's ample supplies of market-ready hogs. The big thing, again, goes back to if you see the outside markets break, the dollar rally kind of takes the export market off the table, and that's something the hogs have really lived by the last 6 or 8 months.
Your Lafayette, Indiana colleague, Chris Hurt, there at Purdue University, wrote earlier in the week, I know because I produced a radio story on it this morning, that he was expecting really that the six-week cycle for hogs to turn higher, as it does generally and has for the last 5 years from about now to mid-May or so. Are you thinking that's right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at the hogs and you look at the wheat and you look at the corn right now, in fact, the hogs and the corn are back and the wheat are back down to levels not seen since the March 30th report, all three of them. And so they've all been running kind of counter-seasonally, and I would think that this counter-seasonal would be ending here at this time period. So that's where, technically speaking, and from a standpoint of trade psychology and fund psychology, I think you don't want to surpass any of the lows that we made earlier this week.
Okay. Anything else to add, or shall we wrap her up for the week.
That'll do it, sir. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. You can always hear Mike again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
One other way you can listen to us if you'd like, you don't have access while you're in the planter cab or running in the field with a field cultivator or doing some field work for prep for planting, you can always dial this number off your regular cell phone or any phone line for that matter. It's 217-333-3434. We update it at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day with either the opening or closing numbers from the CME Group in Chicago and a bit of analysis. Now, here's Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Government Accountability Office says the federal government would save money by shifting more of the cost for crop insurance premiums over to farmers. The GAO stated a $40,000 cap on premium subsidies would have saved taxpayers $1 billion last year and as much as $358 million in 2010. The GAO report comes as the Senate Agriculture Committee pushes to draft a new farm bill, with formal meetings expected to begin as early as the week of April 23rd. The Obama administration has been criticized for proposing $8 billion in cuts to crop insurance over the next 10 years. The trustee unwinding the brokerage of MF Global said yesterday that he may pursue claims against former officers and directors of the company, a group that includes former chief executive John Corzine and other top officials. James Giddens said in a statement that he may assert claims for, among other things, breach of fiduciary duties and violations of the segregation requirements of the Commodity Exchange Act. Last month, a congressional probe found that an email from Corzine may have tied him to some of the missing funds. Intercontinental Exchange Incorporated from Atlanta yesterday announced a big push in the U.S. agricultural futures, challenging the dominance of CME Group. ICE says that it will launch a suite of futures contracts in May, including corn, wheat, soybeans, soybean meal, and soybean oil. The move by ICE comes as CME tries to repair the reputation damage caused by the collapse of MF Global. ICE says the new futures contracts will be cash settled with daily settlement based on Chicago Board of Trade settlement prices. China's economic growth fell to its lowest level in nearly 3 years in the first quarter. Growth in the world's second biggest economy declined to 8.1% in the 3 months ending in March. That was down from the previous quarter's 8.9% and the weakest rate since the second quarter of 2009. China's growth has declined steadily since 2010. The World Bank and private sector analysts, though, expect China to achieve a soft landing, with growth rebounding later this year. Argentina's soybean crop is unlikely to top 44 million metric tons. That, according to the Buenos Aires Cereals Exchange. That's down 1 million tons from the exchange's forecast last week. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain markets with Bruce Bostard. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Farmers in your area, and I think this probably is not the case, much concerned about freeze conditions. And did they have very many acres that were up? I'm guessing that you were a little further behind than
we had some corn up, but not a lot of corn up. And most of what we had up was far enough behind. It was two-leaf stage. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not very far along, so it wasn't a major concern.
And were your temperatures low enough to be freezing in your area?
Got down to like 28 or so, so it got cold.
It did get cold enough.
It did get cold enough, and I needed to go back by. The first day by, I didn't notice anything, you know, slow and driving, not actually in the field kicking anything, but
yeah,
slow and driving.
There's always that one field you know where it is, right?
Yeah.
And everybody knows where it is.
Oh, yeah, the traffic's lined up.
Yeah, I heard that one, too. Okay, so producer's been calling today and saying, hey, wait a second, what's happening?
Not really so much. Right now they're looking at the map, hoping they get a rain out of it,
right,
and getting a little bit more corn planted before it comes through.
So I bet they're really busy in the field and still rolling this afternoon. Any rainfall there yet?
Just a sprinkle, so it hasn't shut anything down yet.
Well, they'll keep going until they absolutely have to stop, especially if we get an inch and a half of a nice rain. It would be a beautiful thing.
That would not break anybody's heart.
No, it would be beautiful. It's been dry in your area, just like it is here?
Yes. Right. Yep. We could really use rain right now. The flip side is if you do get early progress, and you know most guys have never started probably before April 15th, and put a nice rain on top of it, we're off to a good start.
Absolutely. Tell me about the cash grain movement in the area and what basis is like for corn and soybeans.
Basis remains very steady. Corn has picked up a penny, old and new. Beans lost a penny, old and steady, new crop. Very, very little cash movement over the last week. From the sounds of it, it's that way over off a pretty wide swath. Illinois River sounds like barge freight has been, you know, pretty quiet up until a day or so ago. The little few beans started to move, but looks like quiet overall right now.
Your Spidey senses tingling or feeling anything in the marketplace that might change?
Nervousness on new crop price levels and new crop basis. If you're off to a good start, if you could put a good rain on top of an early planting on here, that's just what the doctor ordered right now.
Okay. And your bids for the day?
We are at 636 on nearby corn, new crop at 509, beans 1424 and 1330.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's in Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. This evening, we'll start to record Commodity Week at about 4:30 and post it to our website at willag.org. And you can pick it up off your smartphone there, too, at m.willag.org after about 6 o'clock. Our guest this evening will be Dan Bossy of Ag Resource Company. In studio with us will be Jackie Bakes and Bill Mayer, and I believe Kurt Kimmel. So it should be a good show. You can pick it up at 6 o'clock this evening off our websites.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Peach Cobbler Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1743, Thomas Jefferson was born, the third president of the United States. He was an avid farmer who, at his Monticello estate, practiced scientific farming and was always on the lookout for a significant new plant or seed. In 1916, Funk Brothers Seed Company of Bloomington, Illinois, sold the first U.S. shipment of hybrid seed corn to Samuel Ramsey of Ohio. The cost, $15 a bushel. Ah, the good old days. In 1916, Edna Lewis was born, Southern chef and author of The Taste of Southern Cooking. In 1925, Elwood Haynes died, an American inventor. He built one of the first successful gasoline-powered automobiles, and he was a pioneer in the use of natural gas. When it was discovered in his hometown of Portland, Indiana, he organized a company to supply it to the town and a process to dehydrate the gas prior to it being pumped through the gas lines. In 1976, the $2 bill was reintroduced by the U.S. Treasury. And in 2008, the National Meats Institute in Uruguay organized a record largest barbecue, grilling about 26,000 pounds of beef on a mile-long barbecue grill using 6 tons of coal. And that's this day of agricultural history.
This is the closing market report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On the phone line with us, Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey, part of the Prairie Research Institute. He's taking up this afternoon's ag weather forecast for the weekend. Producers want to know, Jim, how much rainfall across the state of Illinois and how widespread over the weekend?
That's right. That's the big news. We have rain right now in parts of the state. It's raining a little heavier to the south of us here in Champaign-Urbana. The potential is to get at least an inch out of this system as it rolls through, maybe a little heavier amounts to the far north and the far northwest. But by and large, it's going to be really the first significant rain we've had in about 12 days.
And an inch would be good, but it wouldn't stall things for very long, and producers would be looking for another inch pretty quickly. What do you see in the future?
That's right. You know, after this event moves through this weekend, the next couple of days are going to be pretty clear out there. In fact, even the 6 to 10-day forecast has a near normal temperature and precipitation. So I think temperatures are going to be pretty close to what we would expect for this time of year. Probably have another shot of rain as we get close to the next weekend there. But then the 8 to 14-day forecast has us as warmer and drier than normal, so kind of revert back to that drier pattern for a while.
How long does it take, would it take, for an inch to dissipate, for instance, to the point that we get to the dry topsoils like we have now? It's just dust in many places. The planters are kicking up huge clouds of dust as they make their way through the fields, and it's really dry on that top, I don't know, maybe inch and a half of soil?
That's right, yes. It's very dry, the top inch or two there. So an inch of rain, you know, most of the soils, in the especially the central part of the state, can hold about an inch of soil, can hold about a third of an inch or a fourth of an inch of water content and not be too wet. So you can soak in an inch pretty easily. And then, of course, as we have fairly warm weather, it'll start to dry out again as we get into early next week. So, yeah, an inch of rain is just going to be kind of a short-term solution to this. We really need some more rain after that.
Okay, and finish up with the cold weather we had this week. Where were the coldest spots in the state of Illinois?
Yeah, if you look at parts of central and northern Illinois, we had a lot of areas that dropped down below the freezing mark. Fortunately, southern Illinois, I think, fared a little better. But we had some sites that were dropped down into the upper 20s and even to the mid-20s in the northern part of the state. So that's a pretty good freeze at that point. And so I think there were some fruit growers that probably got hit pretty hard in some of those areas. Maybe a little winter wheat and some of the corn might have gotten damaged as well.
Jim, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is Illinois State climatologist, joins us from the Illinois State Water Survey and the Prairie Research Institute right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. And that wraps up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to tune in for Commodity Week if you get the opportunity, or just download it from our website. It's at willag.org. Dan Bossi of Ag Resource Company will be our guest.
WILL agricultural programs and services are made possible by the Friends of WILL and by Bates Commodities, Anderson's Incorporated, AgriGold Hybrids, and Wisconsin Plastic Drain Tile. Thank you for your continued support.